Okay, good evening, everybody. Thank you so much, Mrs. Frankel, Ms. Kobe, for inviting me. I really, really appreciate it. It's really a pleasure, and you should just, first of all, it's so wonderful to see everybody here learning, staying after school. It's an incredible thing. You should be so proud of yourselves that you make that choice. You know, it's a long week, especially towards the end. Right. Almost there for Shabbos, but the fact that you're here, the fact that you chose to stay and learn, I'm sure it was as much for the poppers, you know, as much as for the learning. And it's important just to appreciate, you know, those choices that you made tonight. It's incredible. Those choices are a little bit of what we're going to talk about tonight. Title of the shiur is Holy Cow, Balancing Spirituality and Physicality. I'll give you a little bit of an introduction as to where this shiur came from in my mind. Last Sunday, Baruch Hashem, my daughter got married. So it was an amazing, amazing week. We just finished Shabbat Shavar Brachos. It's been an amazing, amazing journey. God willing, Mr. Hashem, all by you, in the right time. And it's really one of the most incredible experiences, not the most incredible experience of my life, watching my daughter progress through this dating and engagement into the chasana. And then as we got closer and closer to the chasana last Sunday, throughout the last few months, besides the incredible simcha, the incredible excitement that we had to meet my new son-in-law and for my daughter to become a kala, the most incredible thing happened. All of a sudden, my credit card bills started skyrocketing. Day after day, week after week, my daughter, she should be blessed, started coming in day after day and, you know, meeting well and really trying to be careful about, you know, our family finances. But yet she would come in, you know, she had to get new dresses, she had to get a new shetel, and she had a wedding dress, and Baruch Hashem, at every step of the wedding process, it was tremendous, tremendous bracha, with also tremendous bills. And Bez Hashem, you'll see, God willing. But it really has caused me to stop and think over the last few months to understand and to process as growth-filled people, as B'nai B'nos Torah, and I had this conversation actually with my daughter and my son-in-law, and we're supposed to have it further this coming Shabbos, is to how to process all these emotions, how to process and how to balance, how to assimilate the emotions that we feel during these incredible Yimei Simcha, whether it's chasanas, whether you have bas mitzvahs, whether it's bar mitzvahs, brisim, every Jewish event is all about the food, getting dressed up nicely, the photographer, celebrating, and they're all amazing things. Yet, we have this incredible phenomenon in Kol Yisrael that almost every single thing that we do, that it has an incredible, intense spirituality, we also have tremendous physicality. Right? We see that from Yontif itself. Right? Yontif is all about getting together and celebrating and Yontif and davening and learning together and growing spiritually. But yet, at the same time, I don't have to tell you, right, we have tremendous su'udos, and we all get dressed up, and we buy new clothes, and it happens every single Shabbos, and it happens every single Mishmar. Right? We all do this. Right? We have, in MTA, we have pizza twice a week for Night Seder. Right? We have, it's all about creating, infusing the gashmias and the ruchnias, the physicality and the spirituality. So sometimes, though, we feel like, which one is pulling? Which one is the horse? Which one is the cart? Which one are we focusing on? What is the Torah perspective on how to understand all this gashmias, all the physicality? Meaning, we have these experiences. What is the outlook? What is the hashkafa? Right? Is it that they are just two separate things that happen to happen at the same time? Or are they fused somehow? What I want to do is look with you tonight is to look at some sources. We'll start actually in this week's Parsha, which I think lends itself a lot. Because we are now, for the very, very first time ever, have a time where people are making things kodesh, taking objects and making them holy. No different than we do for a Shabbos and for Yontif and for the Chasana. We're taking objects, making them holy. Says the Pasuk in Parshas Truma, take a look at source number one. Pasuk says, Daber el B'nei Yisrael, Hashem tells B'nei Yisrael, right, tells Moshe, Vayikhlu li, Truma, take for me, Truma me eis kol ish asher yidaven elibo, from all of those people who want to give of their hearts, tikhu es truma si. You shall take my truma. Does this pasuk make any sense to you? How do we understand this pasuk? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Klal Yisrael, go and take for me truma, which we take for yourselves. You go take that which is yours. You go take your possessions and then come bring them to the Mishkan so we can build the Mishkan together. How does it make any sense? What does it mean? V'yikhlu li truma, to bring to me truma. Says the Medrash Rabbah, if you take a look at the Medrash, says v'yikhlu li truma. The Medrash gives them a fascinating understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asking Klal Yisrael. The normal way of the world is Adam lokeach chefetz min hashuk. Someone buys an object from the marketplace. Why shema yachal liknos balav? Because maybe their owner will go and take it back. Avad Kadosh Baruch Hu nasan Torah liYisrael. Hashem gave Torah to the Jewish people. The Omer, and he said, Lohem, he said to them, kivi yachal li atem lochem. When you take the Torah, I'm giving it to you. But when you take the Torah, it's as if you're taking me. Havi v'yikhu li truma. And that's what it means. Take to me, truma. What is it? What's going on here? How does this Medrash explain anything? What is Klal Yisrael doing where they go into their house, they take a piece of material, they take some clothing, they take a gold, take silver. And v'yikhu li, what are they doing with that? How are they taking that to themselves? How are they doing that? And how are they making that into something for the Mishkan? What's going on here? Says Rav Yaakov Kabinetsky, an amazing idea. Listen to this idea. It's going to frame everything that we're going to talk about tonight. Zehu bir devrayim. This is what the Medrash, and this is what the Pasuk means. Dayidei hafrasha. That through separating out the objects in their house, komar, midachal al hahektish, dine kedusha. We know the concept called hektish. Everybody familiar with the concept called hektish? You take an object, and you can make it holy. It's an amazing thing. I can take my iPhone, and I now say, this iPhone is hektish. What does that mean? This iPhone now is hektish. It no longer belongs to me. It now belongs to the Mishkan. And if I use this iPhone to check my email, I'm over an Isser Daraisa of Mi'ila, an Isser Daraisa. Imagine that. We, every human being, has the ability to take an object, make it holy, make it hektish, and all of a sudden someone else uses it, or I use it. And all of a sudden that object makes me violate an Isser Daraisa. Crazy concept. How does that work? That's exactly what Hashem is asking them to do. Hashem is saying, go into your house, take gold and silver, bring it to the Mishkan, and all of a sudden that thing becomes Kodesh. How does that work? Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, listen to this idea. It's incredible. He says, Komar b'dachal al hektesh dini kedusha. There it falls onto the laws of kedusha. Akein zehu me'akoach shemasar kadosh baruch hu lechelko shenafach bi'apav. Every person has inside of them a piece of a kadosh baruch hu. Every single human being. Every person has this kedusha. That's inside of them. Because through the original ruach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into Adam and Chava, it stays with us, gets passed down from generation to generation all the way through. And because of that kedusha that was passed down, this is what Chazal say, v'shachanti b'socho. Right? Lo nemar ela v'shachanti b'socham. Right? As we say, Chazal tell us that when Hashem told Klal Yisrael, go and to make the Mishkan, that way I could dwell amongst every single person. Because Hashem is inside of every single one of us. So it says, therefore, it says, Yaakov, this is the strength that God gave Klal Yisrael. V'udafka ima hektish misnaheg al pi chukei v'kloli ha-Torah. As long as it was done according to the rules of the Torah. This is an incredible yisod. An incredible idea. That every person has with inside of them a koach ha-kedusha, a piece of a kadosh baruch hu, as they say in Yiddish, a pintel yid. It's not just a nice concept, but it's a halachic rule. That I can take that which is kedusha inside of me, and I can infuse it into my iPhone. I can infuse it into the shtender or to a table. I can make anything hektish. Just the fact that a kadosh baruch hu gave to me, it's not just a nice, beautiful concept. It's not just like a chassidish idea. But rather, it's a real halachic concept. That I can take something which is kodesh, and all of a sudden that becomes real, that becomes concrete. How does that work? How does that work? How does it translate? How do we begin to understand where that comes from? I'm going to share an idea with you from Morenu, Herschel Schechter Shlita. Schechter, besides being one of the Gedolei Hador, also has written numerous svarim. And his svarim are incredible. They literally cover all Shas. If you ever want to take a look, Schechter's svarim are incredible. They have an index in the back. Literally every single Amud in Shas is at some point quoted in Schechter's svarim, amongst his multiple svarim. Says Rosh Schechter, how does this Kedusha manifest itself besides the Isra of Mi'ilah in day-to-day life? So we know, if God forbid, Rachman HaSan Lo'olinu, we're going on the street, and we find a dead body on the street. Hey, Chas HaShalom, we find a dead body on the street. So we know there's a mitzvah of Kvura. There's a mitzvah to bury a dead body, to bury that person. Does that apply to non-Jews? What do you think? The plot of non-Jews? What do you think?
Yeah.
Take a quick poll. Who thinks that the mitzvah of kavura, furas meis, finding a random dead body, applies to non-Jews? Okay. Curious, for those who say yes, anybody want to volunteer a reason? Anybody want to volunteer? Okay, so we're amongst family here. Anybody want to volunteer? You want to volunteer?
Me?
Okay. Yeah, I got it.
I think because, of course, maybe it's, a bigger mitzvah, more important to do for a Jew, but, it's still, a dead body that needs, respect. Everyone still deserves, respect. So you should still, respect them and bury them.
Good, 100%. 100%. It's good. The Gemara Sanhedrin tells us that literally every body and every neshama is created to reflect the Kaddish Baruch Hu's glory in this world. 100%. But says Rosh Schechter, the following is so. The Gemara in Megillah tells us that it actually does not apply to non-Jews, but here's the svar. It's fascinating. Listen to the svar. It's fascinating. He says, because we know that there's a difference between objects which are used for mitzvos, like, let's say, tzitzis, and objects which serve Torah itself. Like, we have a sefer Torah, we have tefillin, we also have, boxes of tefillin. The boxes of the tefillin don't have the parshios, they have parshios inside of them. Those parshios and those objects are what's called tashmishei kedusha. Tzitzis is called tashmishei mitzvah. They're used for mitzvah. So says Rav Schechter that, well, of course, we have to respect all non-Jews around us because they're also made b'tzelem elokim. But you know what they are? They're tashmishei mitzvah. They're mitzvos. They have mitzvos, right? All non-Jews have mitzvos, and they do mitzvos, and they can do the ratzon Hashem. But Jews are unique. We are special. What are we? We are tashmishei kedusha. And therefore, in every single Jew is a Kaddish Baruch Hu. We are like a walking Sefer Torah. Every single Jew. And therefore, that Kedusha, which emanates from inside of us, that gives us that ability to express that Neshama, to express that Neshama into that object, to make it Kodesh. And let's see an amazing Rambam. The Rambam says the following. If you look at source number 5, it says, Bo re'e kama hachmira ha-Torah b'me'ilah. You can see how strict is the Torah when it comes to the Isser of Me'ilah. Uma im eitzim va'avanim ve'efer va'afar ve'efer, just like when it comes to wood and stones and dust and dirt, and ash keva shenikra shem adon ha'olam aleihem, because at Kadosh Baruch Hu, we place God's name on that object. B'dvarim belvad, only with words. B'yet niskachu, and it becomes holy. V'chol ha'noeg b'hen minhag chol Ma'al Ba'Hashem. Whoever uses it for a non-holy object and purpose, via the Isra of Me'ilah. V'afilu ha'yashogeg tzarech kapara. And a person requires forgiveness. Kavachomer le'mitzvah shechakak lanu ha'kadosh baruch hu shelo yivayin ha'adam ben mifnei shelo yodah ta'iman. All the more so, our mitzvos, the way we're supposed to treat them, is even that much more covered. Right? The concept of using an object, all the objects around us, for mitzvos, is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. But obviously, we're all busy people, right? We're in school, taking English classes, we have work, we have bills to pay. We're not doing mitzvahs all the time, right? No one. There's very few people that do mitzvahs all the time. Right? They say that Vilna Gaon used to only sleep 2 hours a day because you learn the rest of the time. But most of us, most people in the world are not the Vilna Gaon. So how then do we apply this concept? Because this seemingly is a mandate for us to be able to understand how to use objects in this world. What the Rambam is telling us is that a person has the ratzon, they could take any object in the world and make it into a chefza shel mitzvah, and make it into an object of a mitzvah. It's all about our kavanos. It's all about kavanos. They say a story once with the Brisker Rav, Yitzhak Zev Soloveitchik, that he was in meetings all day in his office in Yerushalayim, and at some point in the morning, his teenage daughter came into the office, knocked on the door, and she said, Tah, can I get you anything for the day? She said, I know you'll be in meetings all day. He said, sure. He said, if you bring me, please, a banana and an apple. So she said, sure, no problem. She runs into the kitchen. She brings him a plate with a banana and an apple. And the Brisker Rav is in meetings all day long, and he's there till the late hours of the night. And all of a sudden, the daughter comes in to check on something, and she sees her father still meeting. And there, next to her father, next to the Brisker Rav, is a plate with a banana and an apple. She starts getting a little annoyed. She's like, oh, if he didn't want it, why did he ask me for it? I went in to get it. The meetings were over, and the Brisker Rav comes out of his room. And she says, Tash, she says, I don't understand. Why did he ask me for a banana and an apple if he didn't want them? The Brisker Rav said, well, I didn't really want a banana and an apple. But I was nervous that I was in meetings all day long, and I knew I wouldn't be eating really so much throughout the day. And I was nervous I would be short the 100 brachos that the Gemara tells us we should make every single day. So I calculated, just by sitting in our meetings, I probably would get 98 brachos. So if I asked you for a banana and an apple, so therefore I was able to make sure I had 100 brachos. So she said, no, so what happened? He said, it's fine. He said, I had a drink, and I had something else. Someone else brought something else. So I was yosing my 100 brachos. But to the Brisker Rav, the purpose of the eating was in order to do mitzvahs. It was in order to make it holy. It was in order to use that object for kedusha, right? For mitzvahs, not the other way around. Meaning we can take all that's around us, take the poppers, we can take everything around us and make it holy. When my wife and I were first married, many, many, many years ago, so I was zocha to be a Rebbe in Camp Masora many years ago. So I never forget that after the summer was over, before YU Smicha was starting up again, so my wife and I decided to go for a little road trip before we had children, before we had iPhones and Waze and Google Maps. And so we tried to make the trek from Camp Masora all the way upstate New York down to Hershey Park. So we were driving from Camp Masora to Hershey Park and trying to find our way with just using an old-fashioned map. I know it's a hard concept for a lot of people to understand, but an actual map. So we were going, we were driving through like this northern farmland in North Pennsylvania, and we came across the most amazing thing. As we were driving, we saw this huge billboard, and the billboard said, your wedding was beautiful. I'd love to see the rest of your life, God. And it was striking. We had just gotten married, and we stopped, and we spent the rest of the ride trying to process that and thought to ourselves, well, that's not what we did, right? A Jewish wedding is the total opposite of that, right? Jewish weddings are incredibly beautiful, right? We go and we have our chuppah, and we have all the details of all the halachas that we do. And then that kedusha, that simcha, gets spilled over into the suda itself. Into the suda itself. One of the teachers at MTA told me that one of the female teachers mentioned to me once that when she got married, she was first working in a different school, and she invited a number of the faculty that were there with her. And one of the other non-Jewish faculty members who came to her chasana said that she noticed an amazing difference between her chasana and this faculty member's chasana. So she said, you know, I'm not Jewish. The woman said, in my wedding, she said, we had a beautiful religious ceremony. She said, I'm a religious Christian, and we have a beautiful ceremony. She said, but our ceremony was religious. After that, we partied, and we partied hard. And she said, it was wonderful, and it was fun. She said, but I want to tell you, I was so amazed by your wedding. She said, it was incredible to watch. She said, because the same spirituality that existed at your ceremony, you brought it with you straight into your party. She said, I've never seen a party be spiritual. And that was eye-opening for this woman. But that's literally what the Rambam is telling us. that the goal is to be able to take that which is physical of this world and to make it kodesh. And that's the opportunity that we all have every single day, in every moment of all the things that we do in this world. And that's the message of taking Truma. So when we begin to understand that this is the mandate that a Jew should live by taking that which is around us, making a Kodesh, so then let's take it one step further. If you look at the last source, there's probably a Mishnah that you've all seen many times. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says the following. Benazai Omer, Havi Ratz LaMitzvah Kala Kibichamura. A person should run to do a quote-unquote a lighter mitzvah as if a more serious mitzvah. Okay, we'll not address that right now. Uba Reach Min Aveira. A person should run away from Averos. Why should mitzvah go reris mitzvah? Because a mitzvah causes a mitzvah. The Aveira go reris Aveira, and Aveira causes an Aveira. Why? Sheschar mitzvah. Well, you all know the song, right? Veschar Aveira. Aveira. And the reward of an Aveira is an Aveira. What in the world does this mean? How is the reward of a mitzvah another mitzvah? How does that even work? How does that even work? What does it mean a reward of a mitzvah is another mitzvah? Does anyone have a question on that based on a tefillah that we say multiple times a day? I'll give you a hint. It's in Shema. I'll give you a hint. It's in the second paragraph of Shema. What do we say in the second paragraph of Shema? V'haya im tishmoa, right? We, if you listen to Hashem, then what happens? What do we get? What happens? What do we get when we listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is it we say in Shema every single day? We say, get rain, we get sustenance, right? We get food, we get parnasa. I understand. Do we not get rewards? Is there not reward for us? Right? Don't we do that? Right, certainly, right, we accomplish that when we do mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us things. What does it mean that schar mitzvah? Mitzvah. Look at this Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says the following. Second page, source number 7. Says Rabbeinu Yonah an amazing thing. He says, of course, the reward for a mitzvah can't be things in this world. Can't be money, can't be food. What does that mean? But we say in Shema, it is food, it is money. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, he says, starting in the middle of that first line, the Chayin wrote Salomar, Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nosam Biyad Adam Hara Va'atov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't push us to do good or bad. Ach HaBachira Levad. We know that we have free will. We have the ability to choose. Right? Free will is the ability to choose what I choose to choose. Right? I have the ability to choose always. Every moment of every day. I have the ability to choose between Tov and Ra. He says, "Kamosh emar b'charta b'chayim, v'achar shabachar lo haderecha achas im betova holech." That if we want to choose good, Hakadosh Baruch Hu helps us go in that direction. He sets us up for success. V'Hashem ima, and Hashem will be with him. V'chiyase mitzvah achas misayes oso la'asos mitzvah acheres. And therefore, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the reward for doing a mitzvah, you know what Rabbeinu Yonah says, is Hashem allows us and enables us to do more mitzvahs. That's the reward for all mitzvahs that we do. To enable us to do more mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets us up to do more mitzvahs. Right, the Gemara Makos tells us an amazing story. It says that there was a guy who all he wanted to do every single day was just get drunk. He just wanted to drink alcohol all day long. And that was his rutzon in this world. That's what he wanted to accomplish. Right, high aspirations. So the Gemara says, you know what happened to that person? He says he was walking along the way and he felt the need to drink alcohol, but he looked into his bag and there was nothing there. So he really had such a rutzon, such a will to drink alcohol at that moment. He just went and he lay down in the cemetery. Then the Gemara says that happened to be all of a sudden a wagon drove by and a barrel full of beer of Sheikha all of a sudden fell off a wagon, rolled into the cemetery, and the opening, the spigot, opened up right above his mouth. The Gemara says, "B'derech she'ar adam rotzeh, Hakadosh Baruch Hu mochin lo." The way the person wants to go, Hashem will allow him to go that way. Rav Dessler says, "B'tov me'Eliyahu," that the goal of the entire world of us living day to day is not about physicality. It's not about more money, the bigger house, what else we want to accomplish in this world, because that's fleeting. That's here today, gone tomorrow. It can't be the purpose of this world. Says Rav Dessler that therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us mitzvos in order to help us do other mitzvos. And therefore that's the goal of everything in this world, says Rav Dessler. And therefore, you know why you have amazing paupers? In order to help you do more mitzvos. You know why you have all these things? Well, we have a beautiful building, right? We have all these things. We have stunning things all around us. You know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to have nice clothing and nice homes? Because in order to help us do more mitzvos. Right? That's the ultimate goal. Every step of life to think about is, what am I using to help me accomplish to do more mitzvos? I'll tell you an amazing story. It happened to me, man. I was just a little older than you. I was Shana Aleph when I was learning yeshiva. Any 12th graders here? 12th graders? Okay, great. 12th graders. So I was actually young. I was probably your age. I was a young 12th grader. I was just 17, right when this story happened. So when I was Shana Aleph, the Rosh Yeshiva of where I was, I went to JEC for high school. The Rosh Yeshiva was Rav Lozer Meir Teitz, Rav Pinchas Mordechai Teitz, Zechasad V'Kadosh Avracha. Rav Teitz was Nifter that year when I was Shana Aleph. So I really desperately wanted to go to the Levaya. I was very close with him when I was in high school, when I was in 12th grade. I used to walk him into Shacharis every single day. I was very, very close with him. But I was torn. Because that same night as the Levaya, and every so they have night Levayas, that same night as the Levaya was also a chasna of my Rebbe's daughter in Bnei Brak. And Rechaim Kanievsky was going to be there. I was like, oh, can't miss this. It's like the chasna of the century. His daughter was getting married to some other huge gadol's son. I was like, oh my gosh, it's going to be the chasna. What should I do? I need to go to the Levaya, but of course I have to go to the chasna. I really wasn't sure what to do. So the yeshiva rented a bus. They took the whole yeshiva to the chasna, and it worked out timing-wise that if you're familiar with Eretz Yisrael, on the way to Bnei Brak is the airport. So I worked it out with my Rosh Yeshiva that he was going to drop us off at the airport, and I would give kavod to his son, Rav Elazar Meir Teitz, just wish nichem avelim, and then I would take a cab to Bnei Brak to catch the chasana. That was the plan. Of course, it doesn't always go as planned. So I went, bus, we're going there, we get dropped off, the bus leaves with me and a few friends of mine who also went to JEC, and we were there, and we saw Rav Teitz and his sister, and we were there, and we gave kavod. And all of a sudden, his grandson, my friend Akiva, who's now a Rebbe in the mirror, so Akiva says to me, he says, Shimon, says, we need you to go into the van to go back with the mace with my grandfather, Rav Teitz, back through Shalayim, because in Eretz Yisrael, they transfer bodies only with a minyan. They have these huge vans, like they're set up for that. I was like, but I have to go to the chasana. I'm like, I don't know what to do. He's like, Shimon, we need you to go. He's like, Rav Teitz, you have to come with us. It's like, okay. So all me and my friends, we get into the van. And right now we're like, okay, we're going back the opposite way, back to Yerushalayim. Really not sure what to do. So we go into Yerushalayim, and again, imagine the scenario. So I spent 45 minutes from the airport to Yerushalayim with my Rav, body lying there right in front of me. It was the most life-changing moments of my life. So we get to Yerushalayim. There were hundreds and hundreds of people there. They were waiting for all my friends from high school. They're all there. They open up the car doors to get to take the body out, and then I come out first. My friends are like, what in the world are you going on? How do you get into this car? Yeah, not for now. So then we all get out. We stay for Leviah, stay for the Hespedim, for the speeches, and all of a sudden, we look at my watch, and it was like already like 11:30. I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. My friends were like, okay, it's chasana, it'll go late. It's Bnei Brak. I'm sure it'll go late. So we quickly get into a cab, run to the bus station, get on the first bus to Bnei Brak. They come every like few minutes in Yerushalayim. We get on the bus to Bnei Brak, and we're driving back another 45 minutes back to Bnei Brak. So now we're on our way, and the bus starts pulling to Bnei Brak. We're all sitting in the back of the bus, and my friend, Josh, turns to me, and he says, Shimon, he says, do you know where the wedding hall is? I was like, no, I thought you knew. And they asked the other guy, I thought you knew. So we're not sure. So we're in Bnei Brak. It was like 12:30 at night. None of us really spoke any Hebrew. And we knew we're going to a chasana hall in Bnei Brak to catch a wedding. It's probably a dozen of them. Earlier that year, my friend of my father's decided to stop everything in his life, change things, change direction in his life, decided to go back. He sold his business, go back to learning in Kollel, and he moved to Bnei Brak. All of a sudden, it was 12:30 at night, on a bus, coming to Bnei Brak. We knew the hall was something rachel, but we were sitting in the back. A guy stands up in front of the bus on this random Tuesday night at 12:30 at night, and he looks somewhat similar to my father's friend, Judah, who I haven't seen in like a few years. And all of a sudden, I got enough courage, and I yelled out, Judah, is that you? And he looks to the back, and he says, "Is that a shenker?" And I said, "It is." He goes, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, we're going to a chasana. It's something rachel. Do you know where it is?" He said, "Oh, yes, the next stop." And so it's, and so we get out, and we caught the second dance, and got to meet Reb Chaim Kanievsky. But it was an amazing, amazing experience. Every single step was schar mitzvah, was mitzvah gereres mitzvah. Everything that we do in this world is an opportunity to mekadesh shemayim, to make it holy. That for those few hours, those tires were kodesh. That bus was a chefetz shel mitzvah. It was an opportunity to make everything in this world kodesh. That's the concept of bechira chafshes. This is the concept of free will. That every time I choose something, every time I make a decision in this world, it opens up doors of opportunities or not. Or not. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu closes doors for us. Because if that's either what's not what's best for us, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "You know what? I know you really want this, but this is not what's best for you to accomplish more mitzvos. Therefore, I'm just going to say no to this thing right now. You know, you're davening for it. I know you really want it." Everything in this world is in order to create those mitzvos. The Cholos Alvavos tells us that we know that people think, common misconception, people have it in their minds that there are three categories of objects in this world. People think that there are things which are mitzvah, avera, and then there's parv. People think, oh, there's objects that are mitzvos. All the objects of mitzvos that you know about, people think that there are things which are actually usur, things we know about. Then there's like this parv middle category, right? We go, we eat, we exercise, we work for school, we do all the things that we do, we talk to our friends, things which are parv. Says the Chos Havavos, it's not true. There's really two categories. There's mitzvah and avera. It's all about our kavanah. Rechaim Volozhiner says in Nefesh HaChayim that a person can do one action, and for him, it's the greatest mitzvah. And for her, it's the greatest thing that she could do in this world. And says Rechaim Volozhiner, a person could do something, an action, the exact same action, and for her, it's an avera. It's about kavanah. It's about kavanah. I often tell the guys in MTA that it could be an absolute mitzvah, daraisa, to play Xbox. 100%. Right, I tell them to do that. I tell guys to play Xbox. I think it's important. Right? You don't have to tell that to your brothers or your parents. Right? But it could be a huge mitzvah. And certainly exercising, playing ball, doing things that I always tell the guys that they should be doing, but it's all about kavana. And for one person it's a mitzvah, and for another person it's not. Right? So it really depends on our kavanos. They say Rachana and Wasserman, Hashem Yim Kam Damo, once was going around collecting tzedakah in Europe, and He knew that there was a certain wealthy gvir that always gave him money, but that night was a rainy, snowy night, and he wasn't sure what to do, because he knew that guy had a very white, plush carpet, and he didn't want to schlep his snowy boots onto it. So he went around to the kitchen, the servant's entrance, he knocked on the door, and the guy happened to be in the kitchen. He looked there, and he saw through the window, there was a rechanan. He said, "Rebbe," he says, "you can't possibly come through the back door. What are my children going to say? How am I going to say? I was makabel the gadol hador through the back." He says, "If I could ask Rebbe, be mochel, or you could please walk around the house, come back through the front door." He says, "About your carpet?" He says, "Don't worry." Rav Chanan comes back into the front door, knocks on the door. They're all, he gathers all of his children. He says, "Kinderlach, come, the gadol hador Rav Chanan Wasserman's here." And they all come down into the front entrance of the hall, and Rav Chanan comes in, and he's sopping wet, his thick coat, and he comes in, and he starts taking off his coat, and he says, "Where should I put it?" He says, "Rebbe, it's fine, just put it here on this couch." He said, "But yeah, look at your couch, it's gorgeous." He said, "Where should I put my boots?" He said, "Rebbe, walk on the carpet." He said, "But look at your carpet, it's gorgeous." And the man responds to Rav Chanan, and he says, "Rebbe, why does the Kaddish Baruch Hu give me a carpet and a couch, if not to give Kavod HaTorah? This is why I have it. This is why I own it. This is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to me." Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. Right? The goal is to make Kaddish and to make it holy and to make it Kodesh. The Ramban says in Parshas Shoftim an amazing, amazing thing. If you look at source number 9, look at this unbelievable Ramban. We know the concept of a ben sorer umore. Right? This is a young man who does not listen to his parents. He steals. He curses his parents, and he overeats gluttonously, right? Says the Says the Ramban, what's the Isser here? What's really the fundamental Isser of being a Ben Sora Mora? Why do we have to kill this young man? Says the Ramban, there's two punishments. One is that he curses his parents and doesn't listen to them. He overeats gluttonously. He fills himself disgustingly. Amash and Astavinu is what the Pasuk says, Kedoshim to you. He violates what the Torah says to be holy. V'nemarod, v'oso ta'avodu. And you should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ubo tidbakum. And you should connect to him. And by doing those things, says the Ramban, by becoming a gluttonous person, by becoming just a fully gashmias person without any ruchnias whatsoever, without any spirituality whatsoever, so that person becomes just a wasted being. Because why does he need to live? It's a very extreme Ramban. Right? It's very extreme. Ramban's not saying people shouldn't have beautiful clothing or people shouldn't have beautiful homes. People shouldn't have wonderful physical things. But what Ramban is saying is that if a person only lives for these things, so then he misses the purpose of life. The Dubna Magid, or Yaakov Kranz, gives the following mashal so we can begin to understand how to use all these things properly. He says, there once was two men. He says, and one man was blind, and one man was lame, was crippled, he wasn't able to walk properly. And so they decided to get together in order to help each other. And the person who was strong, who was blind, he put the person who was lame on his shoulders, and they walked around. And they were walking, and they were walking, and they were walking. And the person who was lame, they heard music at a chasna. And he said, oh, what amazing. He said, great, let's go to the chasna. He wanted to dance, but he couldn't. And the guy who was carrying him, the blind person, was not able to dance. Right? I'm sorry, was deaf, was not able to hear the music, so he didn't hear the music of the chasna. So he wasn't feeling besimcha. So the person on the shoulders, the lame person, he took out, into his bag, took out a bottle of schnapps, and he gave it to the deaf man who was carrying him. And he gave him a bottle of schnapps, and he started drinking and drinking and drinking. And after a full bottle of schnapps, all of a sudden, he started dancing. And he started leading him towards the chasana, and so while the person on top danced, the person on the bottom also danced. Says the Dubna Magid, that's the goal of what we have our gashmias for, of our physicality, of our homes, our cars, our iPhones, all the things we have in this world, and it's begin for me to process what all these chasana bills were for. As we look at a chasana, as I did for myself, so what's giving me nichum, what's giving me a little bit of understanding for myself and for my family, and for my daughter's bills that she spent before the chasana, was to begin to think of that, yeah, of course she spent a lot of money. Of course we did. And we had a hall, and we had a band, and we had dresses, and new ties, and new shirts. But we had all those things. But what was the purpose of them? It wasn't just so we could have our pictures and post them and post them where we want to post them, and to say everybody, oh, look at my pictures. But rather, the goal of all the things was in order to make sure that kedusha of that chasana, the real simcha of that chasana, wasn't about the physical things, wasn't about the dresses and the makeup and the hair and all the things that went into it, but rather it was about what was serving what. The physicality was serving the ruchnias, was serving the ruchnias. We'll end with one more idea. If you look at the last page, if you remember, the Ramban pointed out that this Zolel Vesove, the Ben Sora Amore, what he violated was not the fact that he just stuffed his face with food all the time, but that because he stuffed his face all the time, he didn't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He violated not knowing him, of Bar De'ehu. He didn't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does that work? What does that mean? So we just read recently in Parshas Yisro, of the first of the Aseret HaDibros. The Pasuk says, Anochi Hashem Elkecha, Asher Tzisicha, Mitzvah Yisrael, Mibes Avadim, Well, Yelcha, Elkim Acher, Elim Acherim, Al Panai. Right? The Pasuk says, don't serve other gods. The Gemara in Shabbos and Kuf Heyim and Aleph says an amazing thing. That the Pasuk on the word Anochi, in Anochi Hashem Elkecha, is what's called a notrikun. It's an anagram. Right? It stands for multiple words. What does it stand? What does the word Anochi stand for? Rav Yochanan Didei Amar Ba Anochi Notrikun. Ana Nafshi Ksivas Yehovah, source number 12. That the word Anochi stands for, I am giving myself to you in writing. Hashem tells every single member of Klal Yisrael, you want to get to know me? How do you get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Get to know me. Spend time with me. In what way? Says the Torah Tumima on the Pasuk. It says, V'yesh Omar Kavana Adas Loshon B'nei Adam. It says the Pasuk was meant to be understood the way people speak. She'omrim Shemakirim Tachlis Ish Ploni Omidas V'erech Hachmasa. A verse wants to understand the purpose and the value of any person. Mitoch Kasavav V'sarav. Read his books. You want to get to know somebody? Read what they write. If you want to read, if you get to really know an author, read what they write. Then you can really delve into what a person is thinking all about. Right? The Torah is the greatest book of all time. Right? It's literally the most published book of all time. The Torah is literally HaKadosh Baruch Hu's knowledge. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us in this world, it's his ratzon in this world. It says the Torah Timo, you want to get to know Hashem? We learn his Torah. We're sitting here. We're getting to understand what is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. Right? A Torah is a teaching. It's a blueprint. What is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to accomplish and to do in this world? When we come to our own chasanas, God willing, to Hashem very soon, we're going to be struggling with the same issue. Right? We have all the things that we pay for, but we have our intense ruchnias. And it's something we're going to struggle with this coming Shabbos. We're going to have beautiful Shabbos sudos in just about under 24 hours. We sit down at the Shabbos table tomorrow night. What's the kavana? Is it just to have a beautiful Shabbos Suda? Or is that food help us, does that serve our goal of Ruchnias? If we remember what we said in the beginning from Rav Shechter, that that Pintel Yid, that source of Kedusha that allows us to make something Kodesh, that was the Torah that's inside of us. That's what separates Jews from non-Jews. It's what makes us unique, what makes us special, what makes us holy. And that's what the Torah Tzvim is telling us. If we want to get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we learn his Torah. Just, it doesn't mean, therefore, that a person has to spend, like the Vilna Gaon, 22 hours a day. But if the Torah is our priority, and being engaged in it, if we are supporting it, where we live a Torah lifestyle, and again, when I say a Torah lifestyle, it means that we try to live the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, that it allows us to connect to him. That allows us to know him. So again, just to summarize, so what we said tonight is that the goal is to be able to use our objects, make them truma, to be able to make them kodesh. That way they serve us, not that we serve them. And Bez Hashem, as if we adopt such a hashkafa, and again, it's not my own opinions, it's very clear from the psukim, they're shown in the Gemara's Chazal, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be able to engage in the world, accomplish with this world, but live elevated, meaningful lives, that every moment of every day is an opportunity to live a Kodesh life, and everything we do around us, and to Mekadesh, all the things that we do in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us all, that we should always have this hashkafa, and everything that we should do in this world should be holy. Have a good Shabbos.